Well, good morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 18. 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 33. We're going to look at this morning. Talk about the life of David. We look at David's life and we often think that he was just a great success, but you know, he had some failures as well. And this morning being Father's Day, I want to talk with you about the success of a father. There's this little boy, his father had gone on one business trip after another. When he would get home, he'd be home for a day or two. And what he was doing while he was home is he was getting ready for the next business trip. And his family really never got to spend any time with him. And the little boy said, "Families without daddies are no good." What do you think about that statement? Families without daddies are no good. I want to tell you, I concur with that. I think families without daddies are no good. We're going to talk about some specifics this morning concerning that. But there's a real statistic that says that homes where children are and daddies aren't are the homes where children end up in prison. And so it's really important that you understand the role you play as a father. Your role is immeasurable if you think about it. And so, man, I want to put the pressure on you through the word this morning. And I hope you understand that this is how you and I need to live our lives in order that God might be honored and glorified, in order that our children might be raised in the ways of the Lord. And as we look into the Word of God this morning in 2 Samuel, I want to tell you, he had a lot of great success. He was a very successful king. We understand that about King David. We understand that he was a great builder. He built the capital of Jerusalem there. He created that, and he expanded the boundaries as a military leader more than Israel had ever known before King David's reign. He did a lot of wonderful things. His greatest desire was that he would be able to build the house of God so that you and I, or so that the children of God would be able to go into the house of God and worship week after week. That was his heart's desire. But I want to tell you some things that David failed at. And the number one thing that David failed at was as a father. And you're going to see that through the scripture this morning. And really, I could just as easily have turned this and talked about an unsuccessful father. Because David was just that. He was an unsuccessful father. But what we did was we twisted it because we want to talk with you about a successful father. What a successful father looks like. And so if you turn to 2 Samuel in your Bibles, chapter 18, verse 33, I want to ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. Listen to what happened. This is what verse 33 says. "Then the king was deeply moved, and he went up to the chamber over the gate, and he wept. And as he went, he said thus, 'Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I had died in your place. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son.'" I want to ask you to pray with me this morning. Father in heaven, today in the name of Jesus, I ask that as fathers, you would speak to our hearts today. Lord, that we would see through your word the importance of being that God-fearing man who loves you, who respects you, who honors you, who spends time with you, in order that we might as fathers share that with our babies, with our children, with our sons, with our daughters. Lord, I ask that you would speak to us through your word today. And Lord, I know that this is geared towards our fathers, but also, Father, this is for anyone who is raising those babies at home. And not just for a man, but for anyone, for those homes that don't have fathers, but they have mothers. Or for the grandparent that's raising the child or the children. Father, I just pray that as your word goes forth today, it'll not return void, but that you would speak to the hearts of those who gather today. And I ask it all in Jesus' magnificent name. Amen. So we're talking about King David this morning, and what we see through the scripture is if you want to read back, I want to kind of give you just a quick snapshot, a snippet of what's going on. David has been king for a pretty good while now, and he has four sons. Two of his sons do some pretty horrific things. Aemon, you know the story of Aemon. He tries to take advantage of his sister Tamar, and he rapes her. And one of the other sons is not real pleased about that, so he goes and he murders Aemon. Then another one of his sons wants to take his throne, and at the end of his life, and he tries to rebel against him. And then we're going to talk about specifically this morning, as we look into the scripture, we're talking about Absalom. And Absalom also was one who, when David was at the peak of his power, his son wanted to rebel against him, and he wanted to take the kingdom over. He thought his dad had been king way too long, and it was time for one of the children to succeed him as king. But so Absalom thought that he would take things into his own hands. And so he rebelled against his father. He got a coup. He tried to overthrow the kingdom. He wasn't successful. David heard what was going on. So David got his army, and his army literally ran his son out of town. And so Absalom literally leaves the city. He runs away. For 2 years, he's gone. For 2 years, Absalom has hid. David is sending the search party out for 2 years. They're unable to find him. Not able to find Absalom anywhere. And then all of a sudden, he shows back up in the kingdom. Absalom does. Yet another 2 years goes by before King David ever lays eyes on his son. And at this point, he's still trying to rebel against his father. And he tries to do that again. He gets his army, and he tries to go and attack and to get his father killed. But what happens is David, again, he hears about this, and he sends out his troops, and his troops end up killing Absalom, his son, instead of David dying. And this is where we are in the text this morning. David gets the word. The rumors have gone out that Absalom has been slain, that he's been killed, and King David's heart is broken. Bitterly, bitterly broken. And he cries and he mourns and he weeps. And then that's where we are in the text this morning. Then the king was deeply moved, and he went up into the chamber over the gate, and he wept, cried for his son. And as he went, he said, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I had died in your place. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son." So this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to take this story, and we're going to see how we can apply that to our lives on ways not to live, on things not to do, on how we can better take care of our children, on how we can better raise our families. There are certain ways that we need to live. There are certain things that we need to do, and that's what we're going to try and learn today. And there are three things specifically that I want to talk with you about. What does it take for a father to succeed? Men, have you ever thought about that? Dads, listen to me, because this is for you. Have you ever thought about what it takes for a father to succeed? It's not an easy thing to do. You know, what we do is we do the best we can with what we've got to work with, right? But there's some things that we can do that are important to raising our families in the ways of the Lord. And I want to share that with you this morning. The number one thing that you can do for a father to succeed, the success of the father depends on his availability. Listen to me. Fathers, your success as a father, your success as a dad, as a man, depends on you being available for your family. And so I want you to spell love this way for your families. T, maybe I'm going to write it this way for you. T-I-M-E. Time. If you want to succeed as a father, you've got to be available to your children. And how you're available is you must be able to spend time with your family. David was a man. He was very, very busy. You know a little bit about King David. And he was a king. He had all of these people that come to him that depended on him. So as he was king of this empire, he sat on his throne and he made decisions based on the information that he received. But you have to understand the vastness of the kingdom that he ruled, and you have to understand the amount of people that he ruled over, and the issues that would come up from time to time. Can you imagine that there would ever be any day that there wasn't some issue that he had to deal with that was pretty specific, that was pretty difficult, that was pretty hardcore as the king of a people? Some of the issues that would arise, he'd have to deal with those. And maybe there were even times when they'd have to come and get him up out of bed because war was maybe looming right over the ridge. And he had to get up quickly and he had to go and he had to take care of some of those things. And so there would be so many things that he would have to deal with day after day, week after week, month after month. And the thing that suffered was time with his family. And I think we think about that as men, and we can look into our hearts, and we begin to realize, you know, I know there have been so many times in my life where I've just not made time for my family. There have been times where I've not done the things that I've needed to do. Some of the things you're thinking about right now, I know you are, because these are some of the things that I began to think about as I was preparing this message. And how it was so hard for me sometimes to ever find time just for myself, much less to find time for my family. And so I would make excuses. I need to study for my sermon. Or I'm too tired. I don't want to go and do this right now. There's something else that I've got to do. I've got to do schoolwork for 12 years. That's been my answer to my children when they've wanted to do something. And I want to tell you that I failed miserably as a father. I've not done good things there. I've not been the father. I've not been successful. As I look at the text this morning, I've not been the successful father as I know my children have needed. And so I'm acknowledging that to you this morning. I'm acknowledging that to them this morning. And I hope that I can do better. I want to be able to do better as a father. I want to be a successful father. Men, don't we want to be successful as fathers? Amen. We want to be successful. And I want to tell you this. It's not too late. I don't care how old you are. It's not too late for you to be a successful father. You can start now. But I believe the greatest cause of failure by fathers isn't that they're just incompetent as fathers. I believe that it's because we're just not available for our children. How many times have your children come home from school and you've been there and they've needed help with your homework and you've been watching a ball game or you've been watching something on the television and you said, go ask your mother? Doesn't that step on our toes, dads? How many times have you been reading the newspaper in the mornings when your children just needed you to, they've asked you, Dad, will you pour me a glass of orange juice? And you said, you get up and get it because I'm reading the newspaper. How many opportunities have we missed with our children? How many opportunities have we missed with our families because we've not made ourselves available? How many times have we failed? And it's heartbreaking. And it hurts. We've got to make ourselves available. We've got to be able to teach our children. We've got to be able to love our children. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, it says, if you raise a child up in the way that he should go, when he is older, he shall not depart. And what that means for you as a man, as a father, is that you've got to be available to spend time with your children. If you're going to be the one to raise them up in the way they should go, it means this, that you've got to sit down with them sometimes, right? That's what we've got to do. You've got to sit down with them sometimes. You've got to put your arm around them. You've got to love on them. You've got to let them know that you care. And then you've got to raise them in the way they should go. They've got to know how to pray. Amen? And they're not going to know how to pray if you're not raising them in the way they should go. They've got to know how to read and study the Word of God, and they're not going to know how to read and study the Word of God if they're not seeing their father do that at the kitchen table in the morning while you're pouring them a glass of orange juice. We've got to be the ones, listen to me, I want to step on your toes, and I pray that God impresses this upon your heart, but as fathers, we've got to be the one bringing them to church and spending time, not just dropping them off. We've got to be the ones. We've got to be available. and if we're going to raise our children in the way they should go, here's the thing. We're teaching them the Word of God. God impresses it upon their hearts the moment that they understand what salvation really means and they ask Jesus into their hearts. And that's direct result of the father you have been in their lives. So fathers, listen to me. If we're going to succeed, then we've got to step up. We've got to be available. We've got to love them. We've got to spend time with them. We've got to teach them. Amen? And so the first thing to succeed is we must be available. But what about this? Not only is it important that we be available, but also if we're going to succeed as a father, it depends on our consistency, on how we live our lives, the consistency of how we live our lives. Don't think for a moment that they are not watching us. Oh, me. That's scary, isn't it? I want to tell you, as we talk about David, he was so busy as a father that he missed out on a lot of things. He didn't do a lot of things right. He didn't do a lot of things well. He was inconsistent in a lot of areas. He ruled the kingdom, but he didn't rule his home as a God-honoring father. Now, you know the Word of God. It says that David was a man after God's own heart, but you also know that he committed murder and adultery. And he missed a lot of things because there's some things that if he would have done a little bit differently, I have to believe as a man who reads and studies the Word of God that if he would have done things just a little bit differently as it comes with his children, then they wouldn't have rebelled to the point where they wanted to overthrow his kingship so they could step up and become kings themselves. Right? What they would have understood is that there's coming a time when one of them will succeed him as king. But that time isn't yet. And so David done a lot of things well. He done a lot of things. He wrote songs that were set to music. And you and I still worship our Heavenly Father through those psalms today. He did so many wonderful things. He cried out. He poured his heart out. He repented to God. But he fell short as a father. Now listen, I'm sure there were some things that he did right as a father. I'm not beating him up to the point that he always made those mistakes, because let's be honest, with ourselves, there are times when we've done things poorly, but then there are other times when we've done things well, right? And we know that there have been times when we've done things well. But it depends on the consistency of our lives. What do our children see us doing? What do our children do with us? I'll tell you, I first surrendered the ministry. We're at Whitehall Baptist Church, and every Sunday I would go to the altar, and I would just pray. I was praying for the church. I was young in the ministry, and I spent a lot of time on my knees at Whitehall at the altar praying, and it was this side. It was right here, and there's kind of curved around just a little bit. And I would go and I would pray, and I remember that young man over there that's 4 inches taller than I am now, he would come to the altar with me and he would pray. And I remember that so vividly. And I remember one time, Tracy, you remember this little jumper outfit that he had on? It was white. It was real cute. And then it was bib overalls that he had on that were white and baby blue checkered. And they were shorts that were right here. I remember he had on long blue socks that were up to here. And I remember as about a 1.5 or a 2-year-old baby boy going to the altar. And I don't know why specifically I remember that time, maybe more than any time, that I came and I bowed down at the cross, and my baby boy went over there with me, and he clasped his hands together just like his daddy did. And he didn't know what his daddy was saying, but he knew he wanted to do something that his daddy was doing. And our children have to see consistency in our lives. Edgar A. Guest wrote a poem, and it's titled Living Sermon. And I think instead of us saying, do as I say, not as I do, is just not the right way for us to live our lives. Amen or oh me. And what we've got to do is we've got to make sure that we're living the life we want our children to see us live. And so Edgar A. Guest said this in this poem. He said, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one walk with me than merely tell me the way. The eye's a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but example always clear. The best of all preachers are the men who live their creeds. For to see good put in action is what everybody needs. Our children, listen to me, fathers. Make no mistake, it's important for you to say things wisely, but it's equally and even more important, I believe, for your children to see you in action. And so, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 9, I think is such a phenomenal piece of scripture for you and I. And this is what it says: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so the first address is to the individual who's reading the Word of God. And fathers, listen, as you read the Word of God, it's important for you to be consistent in your relationship with God. He said this for the reader: Hear, O Israel. He was addressing everyone, but for the individual person, he says, The Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Fathers, look at me. Listen to me. Do you love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength? That's the first step that has to be taken as a father. You've got to have a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you don't have a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you probably shouldn't expect your children to have a relationship with Him. But then the Word goes on, it says, And these words which I command you today shall be in your hearts. You shall, listen to this, you shall teach them diligently to your children. And so this is about consistently. How do you teach your children? It's by example. They see you living your lives every single day. And if you're living your life with integrity, if you're living your life with honor as a child of God, then your children are going to see that. It's going to bring great joy to their heart, but then they're also going to want to mimic you as a parent. And so you've got to teach them, but how specifically are you to teach them? Teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your way, in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of the gate. So we ask you, men, how important is it for you to live what you believe about Jesus Christ? It's important, isn't it? They've got to see it. You've got to be consistent. Live your sermon. Live your sermon. You've got to live out loud. You can't be ashamed of who God is in your life, because if you're ashamed as fathers, then your children are going to be ashamed. And there shouldn't be any shame in here today that we love Jesus. But we should be pretty excited about it. Last and final thing that I want to submit to you this morning as we talk about how to live our lives, how we succeed as parents. I'm going to say something that a lot of you are going to gasp. But number three is this. Dads, I know you're trying. I know you are. But the success of a father depends on your hard love. Depends on hard love. You've got to discipline your children. You've got to. You know, one of the problems with David is that he really didn't discipline his children. He wasn't spending time with them. He was letting everyone else raise his family. He wasn't the one doing it. How many of you remember, adults, I want to see your hands. How many of you remember the day when you could send your kid out to the tree to get a switch and bring it back without fearing going to and getting in trouble? You remember that day? How many of you remember going out and getting a switch because you were told to do so, and if you brought the wrong size back, you had to go get another one? How many of you remember that? It wasn't fun, was it? And discipline isn't always about wearing them out with the leather or wearing them out with the switch. It's about making decisions for them that they don't know how to make themselves. They're going to make wrong decisions sometimes. But David, it's quite obvious that there was a lot of times in his life where he didn't discipline his children. As a matter of fact, this is what 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 6 says. Listen to this. And his father had not rebuked him at any time by saying, "Why have you done so?" 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 6. Why have you done this? He never rebuked him. In other words, it was like this. "It's okay, son. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We'll fix it. I'm the king. We're going to fix this." And we can't do that. You know, we can't always fix the mess our children find themselves in, can we? We can't do it. And we want to. We want to fix it. We want to wrap them up in our arms. We want to say, "You know what? It's going to be okay." We want to fix every mistake they make. But what we've got to do is we've got to love them. And loving them, hard love sometimes mean, "Buddy, let me tell you something. You know you should not have made that decision. You know that was the wrong thing to do. And so as a result, you have to take away everything that they love most. You have to take away their cell phones. You have to take away their motorcycles. You have to take away their televisions. You have to take away their computers, their iPads, all of these things. And then sometimes you have to stand them on their head upside down in the corner for 20 minutes so the blood gets back down to their brain and they can understand again. Sometimes you have to make those decisions. It's tough. But sometimes we have to love our children. David, he loved his children. I'm confident of that. But I'm also going to say that he didn't rebuke them when rebuke was needed. Friends, we've got to be able to do that. We've got to love our children, but we've got to rebuke them when it's time to rebuke them. Someone has said that in our modern homes, there's a control switch for everything except our children. It's true, isn't it? Got a remote control for everything except our children. And then the Bible says this, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far away." I'm going to tell you, you know, we talk about whooping our children and then we say, "I just don't believe in spankings." It's okay for you to spank your children if you're doing it for the right reasons. Don't beat them. Sometimes maybe that's what they need. But this is what the Word says. It says, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." And so history tells us that juvenile delinquency has gotten worse about the time that the garage has replaced the woodshed. Wouldn't you agree with that? The secret of crime prevention is not found in the electric chair. It's found in the high chair. We've got to start when the babies. We've got to discipline them. We've got to love them. And we've got to give them hard love. And sometimes we've got to make sure that we're doing it the right way. And I mean that in a very loving way. This is what Paul said, because sometimes we're too hard on them. And we've got to balance that. How do we know what's too hard? What isn't hard enough? And so this is what Paul said to the church at Ephesus. He says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Do not provoke them to wrath. That means that you don't go and you just hog time and you holler and scream at them in their face until you turn blue and they do too. We've got to raise them up in the way they should go so that when they are older that they shall not depart. But we have to understand that we've got to discipline them the right way, not provoking them to wrath. Now, they're going to get mad when we discipline them. You understand that. Amen. They don't like being disciplined. But we have to discipline them sometimes. But provoking them to wrath is where they are so angry and they are so provoked that they rise up and they threaten you physically. That's what provoking them to wrath really is, where they retaliate and they get back at you. And then the last verse that I want to share with you this morning, because, you know, we do correct our children. Sometimes we don't always do it the right way, but our children have to know that we love them. And And when they get older, you know, parents, you remember that time in your life where you thought your parents didn't know anything. Adults, you remember that time, right? You don't know. You don't know how it is to be a teenager. But the fact of the matter is, parents, we know quite well how it is to be a teenager. Amen? And you remember that time when you thought that your parents didn't know anything, and now that you have become a parent, you realize my parents knew a whole lot more than I thought. Listen to me, children. Listen to me. Your parents know a whole lot more than you give them credit for. They've been there. They've walked in your shoes. They've experienced the things. Oh, but the times are different. I'm telling you, peer pressure was just as bad then as it is now. So the times haven't changed nearly as much as you think. Technology has changed. But personalities really haven't changed that much over the years. And so we understand. Proverbs 29 verse 17 says this, correct your son and he'll give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul. And so in closing, I wrote in our scroll article this week about J.D. Rockefeller, one of America's first billionaires. And the great thing about this self-made man, this philanthropist, is that he was a man that feared God. He was a man that loved the Lord Jesus. And he gave millions of dollars for education, for churches to be built, things like that, because he loved the Lord. He wanted to honor God with his life, with the resources that he had. And his son said this concerning him. J.D. Rockefeller Jr. said this on one occasion. He said, it's a wonderful thing, this business of being a father, to have given the world one clean, honest, God-fearing son with an active sense of his responsibilities and obligations is about as large a contribution to our day, a generation, as any father can hope to make. Fathers, we've got to leave a legacy for our family. We've got to love them. We've got to be compassionate and have companionship with them. But above all, as fathers, we have to set a high standard of integrity. A high standard of integrity when it comes to our relationship with God. Adrian Rogers has a quote, and I have it on my dresser in the office, on the desk in the office, and it says, Adrian Rogers said this, he said, I'm about down to one word, and it's integrity. Study the word with integrity. Preach the word with integrity. And live with integrity. So I want to ask you men, fathers, how is it with you and integrity? How is it between you and God? How is your relationship there? Because if you've got that right relationship with God, as you should have, then you can say, as Joshua said in chapter 24, verse 15, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so today, I want to ask you, fathers, listen, I know that it's hard raising our children. It's hard, but do you know what is needed? What's needed if you're going to succeed as a father is you have to be available. Fathers, have you made yourself available? You have to live a consistent life. Fathers, are you living a consistent life? And then we have to lovingly discipline our children as well. Fathers, are you lovingly disciplining your children? See, I don't know where you are in your relationship with your family. I don't know where you are in that relationship. I don't know what that looks like, but I can tell you this. If things are going to change in the world that you and I live in, then it has to start at home with the fathers leading their families. Amen? Amen. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, today in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I want to thank you so much for these men who have gathered. I want to thank you for them being here present. And I know their greatest desire is that they succeed as fathers. I know, like
David did when his son was killed. I know there are times in our lives when we're just brokenhearted for our families, for our children. Father, I pray that we wouldn't wait until it's too late. And then at that point we say, oh, I wish it were me. Oh, that I would take in his place. Father, I pray for these men today whom you have blessed to be fathers. Whether it be of their own flesh and blood, whether it be of adoption, whether it be of them, these babies just coming and spending many, many hours with them through the week. Lord, whatever that family looks like, whatever these men are that you've placed in the lives of these children, I pray that the men who have gathered this morning, the individuals who are here today, they understand the importance of being available for these children and being consistent in the way they live their lives in their relationship with you. Father, we just thank you. We know as we see your very example for us that you love us in such a mighty way. Father, that you're always there and you're always available. Your word tells us you never leave us nor forsake us. That you're consistent. Your word tells us that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, we also know that you discipline us when we rebel against you. And you do that in order that we might be drawn back. And your word tells us in James that if we will draw near to you, that you will draw near to us. Father, I pray today that as fathers, if we've fallen away, if we've backslidden in any shape, form, or fashion, as men who are important to the lives of a student, of a child, Lord, I pray today that we would be men of integrity and that we would make sure that our relationship is right with you. And that we would stand up and that we would commit our ways to you today. Father, I pray even this morning, I know that this isn't a salvific message, but Father, I pray that if there's even one person who's here today that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that today would be the day of salvation where they realize that you are a loving Father, so much so that you sent your one and only Son, your only begotten Son, to die on an old rugged cross for their sins. Father, I pray today that you would convict them of their sins, that they would be in a place where they can acknowledge you as their Lord and Savior. Father, today we just want to say that we love you and we thank you and we praise you. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask you to stand this morning. Stand. Listen to me, men. I firmly believe that we need to stand up as fathers today. I firmly believe that today we need to take a stand and that we need to come forward, that we need to bow on this cross, that we need to pray for our families. And so wherever you are this morning, men, I want to ask you, too long, you just come forward and you just bow and ask God to give you strength to be the leader that God has made you to be. Will you